The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet, pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she might get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed upon him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be cured." Immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt her body, that it was healed from her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to Jesus, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you asked, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached him in fear and trembling. She fell before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, the people from the synagogue's official house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside, except for Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. When they had arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and this weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha koum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know of this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let me claim these few moments to reach into the Word of God and summon a teaching that might have meaning to us today. Keeping in mind that the manner in which we read the Gospels or read the story of our lives is with contemporary eyes, with our awareness of today. We're not reading the gospel as one or two generations before us. We're reading the gospel enlightened by scholarship and by human experience in the present day, which gives us a contemporary existential understanding of what the Word of God means to us in our human experience now. Last Friday evening, I went to see a documentary movie called Rebel Hearts. It was a remembrance of a conflict that took place during the 60s after the Second Vatican Council. I was somewhat familiar with it since when it reached its zenith, its decision-making, its more critical point in 1968. I was moved from a parish in Encino where I was deliriously happy. I had 100 teenagers in the teen club. There were no iPhones, no internet, two or three channels on TV. We were the only game in town. And all these teenagers drove my car, smoked my cigarettes, and did all that. I was a happy addict, smoking a pack of Kent a day in the 60s. I still hear from those young people. I never said a prayer with them, but I spent a lot of time with them. And time is your gift. And then one day I was unceremoniously advised that I was moved. I had two horses and a dog. And I was told, you're moved to the unenviable position of being secretary to Cardinal McIntyre. I was 28, he was 81. Didn't know much about horses or dogs and things like that. So I traded two horses and a dog for an 81-year-old cardinal. And I moved downtown, got rid of my horses and my dog. And then I began to work with Cardinal McIntyre, and there was this inflamed conflict between the Immaculate Heart Sisters and Cardinal McIntyre at that time. Some of the elders among us may remember that. And there was in play an unfettered exercise of patriarchal episcopal power on the part of Cardinal McIntyre. He devastated the lives of more than 300 women religious belonging to the Immaculate Heart community. They were banished from our schools. They were teaching in 60 parochial schools around the archdiocese. They were intelligent, bright, holy, dedicated, vocation-driven women. But they were into passages of renewal which did not fit the ecclesiology of the cardinal, who was considered quite conservative and was not attached to the Second Vatican Council, not to the reforms of the council. So this conflict became very inflamed. And by the time I began to work with the cardinal, it was in its closing stages. And more than 300 religious women were dispensed from their vows, and they were separated from the schools of the archdiocese, all the parish schools. Keep in mind that the sisters had no salary in those days. They had no pensions. They were living in convents belonging to the archdiocese, which they had to vacate. So it was a genuine crisis in identity for a large group of visionary, courageous women. And so it happened. It's worth remembering that. We have to keep that in mind. Since if we don't remember that, it may happen again. We had this extraordinary statement of episcopal exercise of power. Daniel Quinn, this extraordinary author, in The Great Forgetting, a book he wrote, reminds us that it's about sacred ecology, but he's very persuasive in reminding us that we all belong. And what happens to one somehow belongs to all. The energy that made the sun rise this morning and the sun set in the evening, the energy that makes the flowers bloom and creates the beauty of nature, is the same energy that allowed us to breathe the breath of life today. We belong. It's the energy of a creating God in all ecology, in all human experience. And therefore, we belong to one another. That's the great teaching. And who will tell the story? Who will recover the story so that, remembering the past, we may avoid repeating it? René Fumelot was a missionary to the indigenous people of northern Canada. He spent 40 years ministering to the tribal people of the Dene tribe in northern Canada. And in his book called The Secret, he tells this story. He once asked a leader of the tribe, what is the greatest sin in the tribe? And the leader said, let me consult the elders in council. So they all came together to reflect on what would be the greatest sin in the tribe of indigenous people. And they came back and said, the greatest sin would be to lock your doors. It's the greatest sin. You can see how that would have meaning in a small tribal community, dedicated to hospitality, to openness, and to belonging to one another. It has a teaching for us. The greatest sin we have is to exclude people, to lock our doors, to shut people out, to judge people, to set people aside, to separate, to break community. That's the great sin of our age. And it comes into focus in today's gospel, where you have this woman who has an issue of blood, and according to the religion of the time, drawn from the Torah, from the book of Leviticus, chapter 15, you may read it, she was made to feel ashamed, unclean, separated from the community. She was made to feel in a sinful condition because of her issue of blood. Therefore, she was banished from the community. She was an outsider. She was unacceptable in the community of religious fervor of the time. But she has a quiet strength of faith, so quiet and so strong that she begins to believe if she touches the garment of Jesus, even that close, she will be healed. And so she does, and she is healed. And then Jesus addresses her and calls her daughter. It's the only time in the public life of Jesus that he ever addresses anyone as daughter. Not only is she healed of her affliction, so to speak, she is restored to the community. She is given dignity. She is exalted. She is called a belonging person. That's the teaching of the miracle. It's not so much that she's healed of her illness. She is restored to the community And the one who was thought to be outside and unclean, the one who was taught to be ashamed of her condition, is embraced by Jesus Christ and drawn into the community and called daughter. That's the powerful teaching of the Word of God today. Where does that fit in your family? Where does it fit in our church? Call somebody daughter, son, brother, sister, somebody that the law might say doesn't belong or should be excluded. Where does this fit in the life of the church? Do we have an imperious dictate that says one person belongs and another is not worthy to belong? Do we have to believe again that if the person would touch even the garment of Jesus, they would be called to belong and addressed as daughter or son or brother or sister? Powerful teaching of the Word of God. And under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are called to interpret the Word of God as it speaks to us today. Not what it might have meant to our grandparents or generations before, but what the Word of God means to us today in our church, in our families, and in our communities. A community of belonging, of embrace, of inclusion. That's why we're coming to the end of Pride Month for the LGBTQ+ community. We need to make a statement about our church, who we are, open to the teaching of Jesus in this gospel reading today. We've had many ministries at Holy Family, and we have a tradition of blessing people in ministries. We bless people who are going to Haiti. We bless catechists. We bless single persons. We bless engaged couples. We bless babies who are recently baptized. We bless fathers on Father's Day and mothers on Mother's Day. We bless grandparents. We're a community of blessing. We're a community of welcoming. We are a community that sees goodness and beauty in all people. That's what it means to be a living church in the power of Jesus Christ, the teaching of today's gospel. And therefore, in this spirit, our community and our church today will bless the members of our LGBTQ+ community who have belonged to Holy Family for many, many years, very quietly, but spirit-filled. They have carried burdens. They have been the subject of judgments and separation, misunderstanding. But now, they belong. And that's the statement of today's gospel, and it must be the statement of the community of faith at Holy Family. And so, I would like to call into the sanctuary all those who are here present. There may be some absent, but those who are here present and who belong to our LGBTQ+ community into the sanctuary so that our community can recognize you and bless you with the blessing of belonging. So please come forward. We welcome you, and we give you our blessing as a sign of our welcoming. So I ask the church to please stretch forth your hands in generous blessing. The blessing we give you is to tell you, you are our brothers, you are our sisters, you are our family, you are church. We give you this blessing, we pray to the Lord. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We give you this blessing of belonging. I have walked with you for many, many years. I have seen your pain, and I have seen your strength. I have seen your faith. When others might be discouraged, you endured, you belonged. In difficult times, you did not walk away. You taught us about faith, about courage, about the power of the Holy Spirit working in us in our difficult times. For this, we thank you. We pray to the Lord. You are our family. We emphasize family here in this community. We sing and we pray that all are welcome. We thank you, members of this community, for welcoming us into your friendship and into your journey of faith. In gratitude, we pray to the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with great kindness. And we do pray that deep in your souls, each and every one of you will know how much you are loved by many people, how much you are loved in your family, and how much you are loved in your church, and how much you are loved by your God. I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us offer our applause by way of it. That applause comes from the heart. I want you to know that it's a prayer. It's a prayer of our people coming from the heart.